Welcome to the Business of Sport, brought to you by Sports Finder. Every week, our CEO, Ahmad El-Hawly, and his co-host, Rob Yowell, founder of Gemini Sport, come together to break down the hottest topics in the world of the business of sport.
Welcome, everybody, to our weekly segment on Twitter Spaces. My name is Ahmad El-Hawly, and I am your host, and my co-host is Mr. Rob Yowell. As usual, every week, we come together and we chat about the latest updates and news from the world of sports, particularly the business of sport. This week it's no different. One of the biggest events in the world of sport is March Madness. It's an event that's at a collegiate level, but believe it or not, when you look at the numbers, it outdoes a lot of the pro sports. I mean, some of the numbers that have come through from last week, the first couple of days, I'll just break a couple of them down. There was an average of 9.2 million people who tuned in for the first round of the men's basketball tournament last Thursday. And then on Friday, it was exceeded to 9.3 million people. The women's tournament also had a 27% year-over-year increase. They're expected for round two, which would have happened yesterday, or today your time actually, to actually go up to closer to a million, because there would have been no competition from the men's. There was the Kevin Dutton just playing yesterday, and in terms of the commercials in the landscape of things, how much March Madness contributes to the NCAA's revenue? It's believed to be up to 85%. So we're seeing one of the biggest events of the year for the NCAA playing out now. And yeah, it hasn't been short of entertaining either. So over to you, sir. How's that bracket of yours going?
Well, my bracket's toast. I've got the only Final Four team I've got left is Alabama. Well, I got Alabama and Texas, but, they would play each other in the, in one of the brackets, but no, my bracket's toast. But, you know, going back to, you know, the numbers, I mean, obviously, the NCAA tournament, men's basketball tournament has been the bell cow for the NCAA for the past, 30 years. I mean, it's been the number one, revenue generator. Because they don't control football, that's separate. And I would just say, hopefully, they enjoy the term of this contract, because I would imagine next time they're coming to the bargaining table, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, ACC, and Pac-12 will probably be on their way to creating their own little fiefdom in the world of college sports. We'll call it college sports for a moment. They could very well, break themselves off. But, as it stands right now, the one thing that always makes this tournament so great, is, the run by Fairleigh Dickinson, the upsets by Furman, Princeton in the Sweet 16, those stories, can still happen here in this tournament. They're not going to happen even in a 12-team, college football tournament. So, at the end of the day, it's drama. It's, there's betting. There's all kinds of things that, that draw, the eyeballs to this tournament over the course of that first weekend. And, your numbers are spelling it out. And, and by comparison, look, there's even with NIL going on, There's an element of college basketball that still, gives us a little sense of purity, apolitical, entertainment, for those 4 days. And, people are tuning in, by comparison, the NBA takes a little hit, a little dip during that time, because we're a little consumed with this college thing. We're consumed with our brackets. We're consumed with our alma maters. We're consumed with you know, some of the great stories that tend to come out of this, you know, March Madness. So, you know, those are things that continue to spell themselves out in the viewership numbers. And again, it's why, you know, they're getting, you know, $1 billion, you know, TV agreement to televise it, because it is great TV. It's ultimate reality TV, and it allows, you know, networks like True TV and TBS and TNT to grasp a different audience for this, for this time frame.
Absolutely. And I mean, let's look at some of the impact March Madness actually has on the host cities. I mean, from some of the numbers that I've come across, it's believed to actually impact up to $250 million just for being participants in the actual tournament, hosting the tournament. I mean, these are huge numbers for a college, so-called college sporting event.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, look, it's, you know, the Final Four is heading to Houston this year. It'll be here in Phoenix next year. So, you know, we're very, you know, very familiar with, you know, the impact that it drives. I mean, it brings, four fan bases to your town, for at least 2 days. Sometimes, you know, 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a game Monday night, for the championship. But it's a, it's my favorite college event because of that pageantry, you know, of four teams walking into a domed stadium, all with, all champions from various regions, all probably, you know, got there with incredible stories, performances, et cetera. But it's the ultimate, you know, lose, win or go home kind of deal. It's like gladiators walking into the arena. You know, it's like, hey, everybody walks in with a chance. You know, pep bands are there, student body's there, alumni's there. It's an incredibly fun experience. Yes, economically, I mean, it's, you talk about a college football championship. You're only just bringing two teams in, you know, because they're playing those bowl games somewhere else. Basketball gives you three games over a 4 day period, and in a sold out stadium, not an arena. They stopped going to arenas back in 2005, I think, was the last year they went into an arena, and it was actually '96 was the last time they did it, because they played in I think it was Madison Square Garden, or I think played in one of those. And now it's, everything's in a stadium that can seat up to 60,000, over 60,000.
You know? Interesting.
But it's a lot of fun. You know, we're going to play itself out now. We're down to the Final 16. I'm going to redo a bracket for the Sweet 16, you know, reset myself, see if I can earn back some credit after my disastrous bracket. I've got one in the 50th percentile and one in the 77th, and it's just ugly.
Wow. Let me just quickly go over some of the advertising numbers. I mean, for organizations who want to advertise in prime time during March Madness. I mean, they said you can go from around hundreds of thousands of dollars in the early rounds to more than $2 million for the national championship game just to advertise on primetime. Now, if we look at the NFL Super Bowl, and their halftime 30 seconds is $7 million, right? And you're getting exposure to over $100 million. For this tournament, that's a lot of money. Is that what are your thoughts on that? You think that's within reason, or do you think there's a bit too much happening there?
You know, for March Madness, I mean, there, for, you know, look, for a lot of those brands, you know, they're the Capital Ones of the world, the AT&Ts, you know, they're they're corporate partners of the NCAA. You know, they've been, you know, they've been around a long time, and this is you know, the big supporters of college athletics. You know, we see them in the you know, bowl game titles of the CFP games and the like. You know, it's a commitment, and you know, a lot of those brands, you know, have, you know, are what you don't see is you don't see a lot of this you know, launching of new commercials, because you know, the Super Bowl's one game. This is a, you know, a commitment over a 3-week period, you know, March Madness. So essentially, you know, that, you know, that $7 million 30-second spot you see in the Super Bowl kind of becomes a $7 million 30-second spot that gets spread over 3 weeks, you know, in a rotation, you know, of all the games. And you're spread across, you know, four different channels. You're on CBS, you're on TNT, you're on True TV, and you're on TBS. And so you've got a, you know, you got a chance to spread that, you know, that, you know, that spending around. You're getting, you know, multiple, you know, different audiences, because, you know, different people tuning into different matchups. You know, ultimately, you know, the advertising funnel is starts to narrow itself down as the field gets trimmed to 16, then 8, then we go into that Final Four weekend. You know, it's a justifiable, you know, they're justifiable, you know, rates, you know, because of the eyeballs that are on it. I mean, it's not going to be Super Bowl eyeballs. It will be Super Bowl eyeballs over the period of, you know, the 3 weeks. So, you know, that, you know, again, it's, you know, in some cases it's just a, you know, Super Bowl tends to be a much more of an unveiling, and people are, you know, spending, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know, scripting that, what that 30-second commercial or, you know, 60-second commercial is going to be. Here they're running, you know, their traditional ads, you know, and occasionally, you know, they've got some that are, customized for, you know, for the March Madness, you know, so they've got, they're using Kenny Smith, you know, they got the mascots driving to the Final Four, and, you know, basketball themed, et cetera. They tend to use, you know, more of their current stock, as opposed to, hey, we're unveiling a new, you know, a new commercial, which, you know, the Super Bowl has kind of been, you know, been known for. The first time you see that ad is during the Super Bowl. Here, you know, those are ads that you've seen before, or in some cases, ones you are just updated from the year before.
Well, thank you very much for explaining that and taking us through that, because that makes things a lot more clearer. At the first glimpse, when I seen those numbers, I was a bit taken back, actually. I thought it was a bit much, but now that you've broken it down, I mean, that makes a lot more sense. Let's move into our next conversation, which is a very interesting one. One of the biggest, most watched games in the world is the Indian IPL, which is the Indian Premier League, which is cricket.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now what we're seeing is there's a huge emphasis from these teams in India that are looking to grow the game of cricket in the USA, and they're purchasing teams early on in the USA. So a couple of updates over the last week. You got the Delhi Capitals have bought a stake in the Seattle franchise of a new 2020 tournament. And You wouldn't believe who one of the owners are. Is Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. He's been one of the he's one of the investors. Then you have the Mumbai Indians, who bought the MLC's New York franchise, and the Chennai Super Kings have also teamed up with a local investor to purchase the Texas franchise. So this is very powerful, because these teams in India are like one step short of gods, literally. They're worshipped there. They're very well backed. They're paying athletes more than any cricket tournament in the world. And now they're bringing that influence into the United States, which is going to be huge. I think cricket's going to be one of those sports that will find its place, especially amongst immigrants that have moved there or have a second generation or even first generation. And I can see a lot of potential there, especially in the States. What are your thoughts?
Well, this isn't the first time that, you know, that cricket has, you know, I've seen cricket played at Dodger Stadium, seen it played, it's come over in certain points. You know, they built a cricket venue out here in Arizona. The opportunity, you know, is going to be there for a sport with the, you know, the global eyeballs that, you know, the IPL delivers. You've mentioned there's a strong immigrant Indian population here in the United States. It's you know, a game that they grew up watching, you know, it's tradition. We've talked about pickleball as one of those fastest growing sports. I mean, that's one that's kind of organically, you know, growing, you know, like wildfire here, you know, in North America. But, you know, this sport, it has a global audience already. I mean, you know, you alluded to the stature that cricket players have, nationally, and somewhat globally, as kings of their sport. I mean, they are some of the most highest paid, you know, athletes. You know, the jersey sponsorship for some of those teams that you mentioned are some of the, you know, are equivalent to what EPL teams are getting. And for some people, that's hard to imagine. But in some cases, you know, they're getting more, you know, than what Chelsea is getting now. I mean, Man United and Liverpool, you know, were up there, you know, massive numbers. But, you know, there are brands that if they want to reach, you know, the second largest population in the world, I believe, you know, India is, you know, you put your name on the front of a cricket uniform, you're hitting that audience. And so justifiably, if that sport is going to grow, grow where a lot of your expat population is, you know, it's in the UK, which already plays cricket, and it's, you know, highly competitive and highly bargained, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, sponsorship. You've got, obviously, you know, Australia has always been another colony that's big on cricket. And, you know, United States tends to have, you know, people from all of those parts of the world here. And so, you know, nothing like a little slice of home to be able to come catch a cricket match. And, you know, and look, it's smart. This is what Citigroup has been doing, you know, with soccer clubs around the world. They own 32, 33 soccer clubs strategically around the world because, you know, it's the world's game, but, you know, their brand is on it. They own an MLS franchise. And so to see some of the biggest names in cricket, you know, plant their flag here in the U.S. as, you know, as owners of these new franchises, It's a smart move, and it's a credibility move for that league to be able to get that kind of ownership. Because what do you have now? You've got this natural, development system, you know, to where you can take some of your young cricketers in India, send them over here to play, and then you've got this natural opportunity to go back to the big club. And oh, by the way, that big club will come over here and play, you know, some exhibitions like we see with, you know, the EPL teams that tour through here in the summer, play three or four games to get tuned up for the next season and sell out stadiums because their fans are here. Because, you know, guess what? We're watching Champions League. We're watching EPL. We're watching La Liga. We're watching Bundesliga. We're watching all those teams. And, you know, there's a strong fan base here. And so, you know, I would expect to see a very similar, you know, cycle, you know, within the, you know, culturally within those, you know, those demographics, but also, you know, that, you know, it more investment of that nature to take place in other franchises.
Absolutely. And I think it's definitely going to kick off. It's only a matter of time. Let's move on to our next conversation, which is the big dog ESPN. It's been reported that they're getting ready to make a fair few layoffs. And just to quote them, what's been quoted is that there will be no sacred cows. So everybody can potentially end up on the chopping board. And this was all motivated by the Disney legend Bob Iger coming back through and announced that he's going to cut 7,000 jobs across the Disney companies. I mean, Disney are paying some ridiculous amounts of money to some of their big names. I mean, in the past, they paid Troy Aikman $18 million a year, Joey Buck $15 million, Stephen A. Smith $12 million. And they're saying now that they're gonna go all in on Pat McAfee basically to try and reel him back in and
Pat McAfee
and really like throw the kitchen sink at him. So I mean he's getting $30 million. He's got a $30 million contract from FanDuel alone. I mean, so what's going on? We're cutting staff. We're throwing the kitchen sink at others. And, you know, huge restructures happening before our eyes.
Well, I mean, it's a combination of, you know, they've been in, you know, these rights fees agreements, you know, that they have with college football, that they have with, you know, NFL Monday Night Football. You know, they got hockey back. So you've got this. You know, these rights fees that they've acquired or agreed to, you know, that are, you know, expenses, you know, right, frankly, you know, they used to be the destination for, you know, sports news. And now you can get it on your phone. So, you know, so the eyeballs that are watching, you know, their flagship sports center are not what it once was. You know, the consumers are, you know, making decisions to, you know, the cable cutters, you know, you're moving to streaming, you're moving to multiple different platforms. And so you're, you know, at the end of the day, if eyeballs are going down, we talked about, you know, what drove prices for Super Bowl and March Madness are that the eyeballs come in during that time. Well, guess what? You know, if the eyeballs are going down on your broadcast, your subscribers are going down on your subscriptions, well, guess what? Ad rates drop, you know, revenue, you know, drops, but you found yourself in this, you know, your revenue cycle is going one way, your expense cycle is going the other way, and somewhere in between are overhead costs called personnel. And it's just, You know, Bob, you know, Iger comes in and he's like, you know, you pay for talent. You know, what you're going to see is you're going to probably see some talent that maybe they want to keep. You know, their schedule is going to get expanded and they'll cut three people and one of their, you know, more popular anchors will pick up a few more shifts on SportsCenter. You may see, you know, you may see what, like you said, you may see one of their, you know, big names that's coming up for a contract renewal or, you know, in the final year of a deal, or maybe, you know, maybe just re-signed one and they're cutting them. You know, they probably have the out clause in there. They got to make some decisions. And it's hard. you know, a lot of teams had to go through this, obviously, when COVID hit, you know, when, you know, there weren't games being played and sponsorships being paid and tickets being sold. You know, yes, you saw a lot of staff get furloughed and laid off. I mean, obviously, this is a cut, not a furlough. So, you know, hard decisions are being made. You know, you've got to make some, you've got to get a business back profitable, and you got to get expenses and revenues in check. And this is just, this is one of the harsh ways to do it. Maybe don't, you know, overspend on some of your rights fees, but you know, you get into those bidding wars and, you know, this is what happens. You find yourself holding a, you know, bunch of financial receipts and not enough money in the bag to pay for it. So what do you got to do? You got to reduce your costs, and they're not dropping the content. They'll drop staff, and they got to be very strategic on the staff that they drop, because there's new opportunities for talent with Apple TV, with Amazon probably being more aggressive in the space. So you may see some of the talent that you've seen on ESPN find its way over to Fox and some of these other networks as well. So it's just, it's part of the game.
Interesting. Tough part. Interesting. Do you think they will go with the approach of trying to become the mother of all aggregators and try and bring them all under the ESPN banner, or have some sort of platform that does that? Because that's what everyone's been talking about now for the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, we talked a little bit about that in the past couple of weeks on, you know, kind of what's the, you know, what's next? And, you know, can they be that aggregator? I mean, they could be. But, I mean, you know, they've got to figure out, you know, they got to get the financial house in order. Because obviously, you know, to do that, you know, there's probably some costs associated with that as well. But what they do offset with, hey, if we're the aggregator for a broadcast that already has a broadcast team, why am I paying for, you know, three or four broadcast teams that we're not maximizing? So, you know, like I said, you may see some workloads of other talent increase as they, you know, lay off others to, you know, cut costs. But it'll be interesting. It's a very interesting time. We've been following this shift to the streaming world. So, you know, it's a challenging time, and you know, this is a different Disney than what Robert Iger left when he quote retired a few years ago.
A lot more political, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
they made the mistake of mixing the two worlds, just like everybody else. But anyway, all good. All right, moving into our next one now. This is really fascinating. I mean, this guy is unbelievable, Dana White. I mean, he's back, and he's back stronger than ever. He was talking about this, I'd say about a year or so ago. He seen it somewhere. I can't remember where he actually found it. He was watching people with this, pretty much it's called the Power Slap League. And the way it works is that two people come up, they hold on to the bench, whoever wins the right to go first will slap them first. And it's brutal. Like the UFC was considered brutal. This takes it to a whole new level because you're literally sitting there waiting to be knocked out on most occasions. But I mean, he copped a lot of criticism for it, but there seems to be people who like to watch it. There's an audience there. And I'll just go through some of the numbers. It's averaging 10 million views on TikTok. Now, if we compare it to the WWE, the WWE averages 1.5 million. The UFC averages 770,000. The NFL averages 545,000. Ridiculous. I mean, these numbers are extravagant. In terms of the cable provider that it's on, AEW, it was able to hold on to almost half of its audience. And then you have other shows like Family Guy, The American Dad, Bob's Burgers, Sheldon, so on, that pretty much as soon as like they're in comparison to this power slab like on there, as soon as they finish, their audience is pretty much gone. These guys hold on to 47-50% of the AEW crowd, and they're number two every night with men on all of cable behind the NBA. Crazy numbers. I mean, fascinating numbers. What are your thoughts?
It's, well, it comes back to that innate, barbarian in all of us, I guess, to, watch someone just, we watch UFC.
Yeah.
We watch the pugilistic, ultimate. I mean, and look, the power slap is I've watched a couple of them. I mean, I've watched these one slap knockouts, and you're just like, why would you? I don't know what this isn't athletic.
Oh,
this is has nothing to do with being an athlete, right? This is just a straight whack to the head. In a time where, the NFL is going through every precaution to prevent concussions, we've now got another league where just people are hauling off and whacking each other on the side of the head. It's very simplistic. I mean, I think you can understand what the rules are. There's a coin flip to see who goes first. If you're the guy that's taking the first blow, hold on to your hat. Here you go. And it's
brutal.
It's brutal. Obviously, it's one of those things where probably certain companies are going to avoid it, from just given the type, just, much like early UFC,
correct,
there were brands that wouldn't touch, correct, it. But they cleaned it up, and they it's one of, now it's one of the biggest sponsored.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look, the world of sport never ceases to amaze you as to what people will watch and what people will pay for. We talked about pickleball, being on the rise. LIV Golf couldn't find a TV partner yet. Power Slap, Cornhole, and pickleball are signing, with major networks.
It's entertaining.
Go big.
It's entertaining, Rob. It's entertaining.
Yeah,
number that had gruesome movies.
Again,
it's entertaining.
We talked about that bite-sized entertainment. Yeah. This is bite-sized entertainment.
Yeah. Literally.
And you got the ladies doing this too.
Everyone.
So, hey, everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Got a master's division. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I have no intention of testing my master's skills in power slap, but I might get pickleball run. That might be more my speed.
I mean, if you look at even like how Dana's gone about it, he's got like a similar TV show to The Ultimate Fighter. That they have the equivalent. He's got them set up in the PSIs that they've built. He's put all this science into it on how to improve the power and speed and accuracy of your slap, literally. So he's really taken it to a whole new level. And he said it. He goes, this thing reminds me so much of the UFC when we first started. They got approved in Nevada, and now they have a whole team just going from state to state trying to get it approved. And power to him. He knows, yeah, an opportunity when he sees one. He'll probably build another $1 billion company here because people love seeing other people get knocked out. Just how it is. It's unfortunate. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's like you said, it just all comes down to its entertainment.
100%.
And
100%.
And like Maximus, screamed to the Romans, are we not entertained? I mean, it's been primal in our entertainment for, you know, since the beginning. And, you know, we kind of, there's something about pugilistic brutality that we embrace.
100%. 100%. Let's see how that plays out. I'm sure they'll find a way to keep it flying. Let's move on to our last conversation. This one's down my part of the world. The Australian Football League, the AFL, kicked off last week. And we have numbers, we have some interesting numbers. The first game drew 2.14 million domestic viewers, which is Richmond versus Carlton. They're two very big teams in Melbourne, and Melbourne's is the heart of AFL. Audiences were up 13% on the first game of season 2022. 4.4 million viewers tuned in across 7 and 7, mate, during the AFL's opening weekend. I know this one would have been probably not too much interest in the States, but down our way, this is huge. I mean, these numbers are increasing. And the reason why is because the AFL signed $4.5 billion deal, TV rights deal last year, I guess, for 7 years, basically. So we're seeing the growth of this game, but it's only limited in Australia. But they haven't really been able to take it outside Australia. It's very similar to the NFL, how it's got dominance in India, in America. But once you go outside America, there isn't that dominance. And Australia's this sport, the Australian Football League, is the biggest league in Australia, even though the NRL and other leagues try and say it is, but it is hands down, even from the TV rights. Like, this game attracted 90,000 people. The average viewership is in the 60,000s or so at games for the AFL. So this is the biggest league. They also have a concussion problem at the moment. Like the NFL, they're being sued for potentially $1 billion by multiple players, about 60 players. So I just wanted to sort of bring it up to sort of compare the two sports and how they're so dominant internally in their own respective countries. But once you go outside, they've struggled a bit. So just thought I'd share that with you. Any comments from you?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, you know, I mean, it's always interesting to kind of see, you know, what the dominant sport, you know, in other countries is. You know, we talk about, you know, EPL, and we've talked about cricket here today. And so, you know, again, in your neck of the woods, it, you know, it's Australian rules football. So, you know, to see it, you know, to see this, you know, getting an understanding of kind of how, you know, the dominant sports, you know, how, you know, what their viewership, and obviously, you know, it's a, you know, the audience is, you know, you're dealing with larger audiences in some other parts of the world. But, you know, again, you know, by comparison, you know, like you said, you know, it's dominant. It's you, you know, the fans, you know, are ready, you know, for it when it comes. I mean, you know, Australian fans are some of the best supporters, you know, what, you know, for those events that come, the those events that come there, you know, the Australian Open and Formula One and things of that nature. But, you know, this is your national sport, so to speak. And, you know, they're great supporters of it. And the numbers bear that out, you know, on both viewership and you know, revenue.
Yeah, and I'll share one last stat with you. The AFL has 1.2 million members throughout its 18 teams or 19 teams. So that's, and Australia has a population of 25 million people. So that's pretty interesting. I think that's about 3% of the country are AFL members. It just goes to show you the dominance that this sport holds here. I mean, it's fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, once again, thank you very much, Mr. Rob. And another interesting episode. Yeah. Interesting conversations around the Power Slap League and the AFL. hopefully we can bring a few more week on week to sort of, you know, diversify our content a bit. But as always, I give you parting words.
Yeah, well, you know, again, you know, as we close here, you know, I wanted to bring up, you know, kind of two other, major pieces of news that have kind of occurred kind of later in the business cycle today. The NHL just announced their new uniform supplier is Fanatics,
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
taken
Yeah.
over from Adidas.
Yeah.
Fanatics, for those of us, was just a place where we bought merchandise.
Absolutely.
And then they got into the NFT space, and now they're into gambling, and now, they are the official uniform of the NHL. You know, like Nike is for the NFL and for the NBA, Adidas, was for a long time here with the NHL. You know, another, expansion of what Fanatics has become as a business in an
Wow.
industry. And
Wow.
watching and following the things that are happening, and then kind of more on the NFL front, another big name joining one of the potential bidders for the Commanders. Magic Johnson
Yes,
joined in
yes.
with Blitzer's group he was part of one of the bids for the Broncos. And Magic, has ownership pieces in the Lakers and the Dodgers and LAFC. As the NFL looks for more diversity and ownership, Magic brings on, brings a lot of credibility, but also a lot of business acumen to an NFL franchise. He's a, you know, he's a he's a he's a magnetic personality, a tremendous businessman. And you've got four viable groups kind of in the mix for that franchise, and he kind of adds a nice little boost to Blitzer's group. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It'll be his, obviously all of his other holdings are LA based, so this would be his first East Coast acquisition. So should be interesting to kind of watch these things play out as well. But again, the world of sport hands us plenty of topics. We've got we'll see when we catch up next week. There'll be four teams heading to Houston for their NCAA basketball destiny. Probably there'll be a few more exciting finishes along the way. We're in the stretch run now of NBA playoffs. Can the Lakers, get out of the play-in and into, safely into the playoffs with the Warriors? They just won an away game the other night, so maybe they're rounding into form here late in the season. Got a lot of, a lot of things. The World Baseball Classic has been a huge home run on viewership. That's there's just so many things that are going on in the world of sport right now. It's kind of hard to contain them, right? So
Absolutely.
again, I appreciate the opportunity to jump on with you each week and talk about what's happening globally. And every once in a while we may steer off tangent a little bit and talk about a few things. But again, this is the world we live in. And the sports business never sleeps. And so it's good to catch up with you, my friend, and hopefully your Wednesday is going well.
Thank you, my man. Always, once again, everyone, thank you to all who tune in. And we look forward to bringing you another amazing show next week. Thank you, Rob. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Finder podcast. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at sportsfinder.com.